Okay, we're going to start again at the beginning of the Gemara that we left off in the middle of. Nun Ches Amid Beis. Eleven lines in the bottom of the page. Okay, this Gemara again, we learned a little bit of it last week, but we left off in the middle. You can just start in the middle of this Gemara. Okay, and the Mishnah said it in like this. There's what, just to refresh everybody's memory. There's the five seller work that the wife has to do. Because of that, the husband has to feed her. Even though that's what we're going to see about in the Gemara today. Okay. Then there's an additional work, the Meiser, that's called the extra work. And therefore, he gives her an extra seller spending money. Now, that's not a definitive statement. That's one opinion, the Gemara. But the bottom line is, there's the work that she has to do. Right? That's Meiser Yodeha, the five seller that she needs to work every week. And then there's the extra work. Okay? So in the Mishnah said, what happens, Hamakdish Maisi de Ishtri. Before in the Mishnah it says, if a guy says, the work that my wife's gonna make, bring in, so it's not Hegdish. Okay? But Maisar, the leftover, the extra stuff above the five seller, so there was a Rameir says it's Hegdish, Rabbi Yechon Sandler says it's not Hegdish. Okay? So now the Gemara says like this. But according to the mayor that says it's Hegdish, right? That means if the husband says the excess money that the woman's going to bring in, I'm making Hegdish. So the mayor holds it becomes Hegdish. 58 before.
I must have the wrong book. Because I was number two, right?
Subis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about the wife dying.
Do you have 58 before?
Yeah. She's still alive.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know.
I,
oh, yeah, we haven't started yet.
I know. I said we have to go back because we're in the middle.
He's repeating, refreshing.
He wasn't here last week. Okay, anyway. So Rav and Shmuel both say, when does it become Hegdish? Achamisa. After she dies. Okay? That means when the husband says, whatever extra money my wife makes is Hegdish. So a mayor says it becomes Hegdish. When does it become Hegdish? Rav and Shmuel say after the woman dies, then the husband inherits everything of the woman, then it becomes Hegdish. Not before. The extra is consecrated even when she's alive. As soon as she produces it, right? As soon as she brings in that money, it becomes Hegdish. Not the Rav and Shmuel that says, even when she brings in the money, it doesn't become Hegdish until after she dies. Okay? So Gemara says, Hava made a papa. A papa asked the question. I don't understand what the argument is. If the husband gives her food and the extra saw, you know, the extra seller, so then obviously the money, then her work becomes his. So my time at the Mount of Lachemisa Kaddish. So why does Rav and Shmuel say it doesn't become Hegdish until after she dies? If he gives her the money and supports her, right? So then as soon as she makes the money, it's the husband's. So why can't it be Hegdish? Right? And Ik She'ein Milo Mezainus. So we must say, it's speaking, the husband doesn't give her support and doesn't give her the extra money. So then, if that's the case, it's not the husband's at all. Right? My time of the Amanda Amr Mechaim Kodesh. So why does Rav Ada Bar Ava say the money becomes Hegdish as soon as she earns it? It's never the husband's. Because he doesn't pay her the money that he owns her. Right? So the Gemara says like this. There's an argument if the husband sanctifies the woman's extra earnings. Right? The mayor says it becomes Hegdish. And the Gemara says Rav and Shmuel said it becomes Hegdish after she dies. And Rav Ada Bar Ava says it becomes Hegdish during the lifetime, right? So Gemara says, 1 minute, what's the case here? If the husband gives her support and spending money, right, then it should become right away his. As soon as she earns it, he gets it, right? So then why does it become Hegdish only after she dies? And if you say the husband doesn't give her the money and doesn't give her support, so why it should never be Hegdish? Right? Why does Rav Ada Bar Ava say it becomes Hegdish in a lifetime?
Until she dies, though.
Right. After she dies, it says anyway, for a separate reason.
Right.
So the Gemara says, "La'elam b'mailo mezainus veina mailo makasav zerchel." It's speaking like this. You know what the case is? He supports her, but he doesn't give her the extra spending money, the extra makasav. So then, what's the question over here? The question over here is like this. Rav and Shmuel, let's see it inside. Rav and Shmuel Savere, Rav and Shmuel hold. Okay, this is where we turned the page already last time. Mezainis tachas maisi adeh, or more kesef tachas maisir. Okay? Now, just to clear, it's very simple, just to make it clear. The wife gives two things to the husband, earnings and extra earnings. The husband gives the wife support, and extra money. Okay? Now, the question is, what is for what? So Rav and Shmuel both say like this. The food that he gives her is for her work. The five seller that she works a week for the regular work. Support, he feeds her for in exchange for the work that she gets. The extra spending money, it's for the extra work she does. Got it? It's very simple. Now, therefore, because this case is speaking, he supports her. But he doesn't give her the extra spending money. So therefore, Rav and Shmuel say, it doesn't become hegdish. Why? Because he never gave her the ma, that the extra work should go to him. Right? What does Rav and Shmuel say? Support, I understand. He gives her support, the earnings go to him. But because he didn't give her the extra spending money, let's call it the ma kesef, which is the size of a coin. He doesn't give her the ma kesef. So the extra work doesn't go to him, right? So that's what Rav and Shmuel says. It doesn't become hegdish until she dies. And he inherits her anyway. So then everything becomes hers. Becomes his. But Ravad Barava Sava, Ravad Barasava, no, that's not what it is. Meisid di dohava, tiknu mezainis tachas meisid. No, I'm sorry, I went backwards. Ravad Barava Sava, tiknu mezainis tachas meisid. Support is for her extra work. Not the Rav and Shmuel say, support is for work, extra ma is for extra work. Right? Rav Barava says no. Mizaynis is given to her for the extra work that she does. Oh. Over five. Oh. That means the Chachamim said, the extra work that she gives him, he supports her. And the extra ma kesef is for Tachos Maisi Yadeha, for her work. Therefore, Kivan the Koyav Lemezena, because the husband in this case gave her support. He didn't give her the Ma Kesef, but he fed her, he gave her support. Therefore, the they have it belongs to the husband, and therefore he can make it Hegdish. You know, this is very simple. The husband gave her support, but not Ma Kesef. Correct? Now, Rav and Shmuel say the Ma'a Kesef is for the extra work. He didn't give her Ma'a Kesef. The extra work does not go to him, to the husband. Right? Therefore, if he made it Hegdish, it's not his to make Hegdish. Right? The only thing is, after she dies, because he inherits her anyway, so then it also becomes Hegdish because it's his money, because he inherited her, not because of her work. But Ravada Barava holds, no. The extra work is for the Mezainis. The husband did give her Mezainis. If he gave her Mezainis, means supported her, then the extra work is the husband's. So therefore he can make it Hegdish. The husband gave her mezainis, but not ma'al kesef. Right? So if the ma'al kesef is for the extra, then he can't make it hegdish if he didn't give her the ma'al kesef. Right? But Rav Barava says, no. The ma'a kesev is for the support. The mezainis that he gives her, that's for the extra.
Doesn't make sense.
Huh?
No, yeah, I don't get it.
Mezainis is for the extra me.
The second one, I don't get the second
one. Vada barava? We need
he holds
a,
the opposite.
A blackboard.
Huh?
He holds the opposite.
No, I know, but what is, I understand. What is the logic? I don't understand the logic.
The logic is, what did a chum make for what? And the Gemara, by the way, is going to say, by my kamifligi. The Gemara is going to explain why each one holds what they hold. Okay? But the point over here is very simple. If he gave her mezainis, but he didn't give her the ma'a kesef. Right? What was he makdish? Her extra earnings. Right? So now, he gave her mezainis. So if the extra earning is because of the mezainis, like Rav Avada Bar Ava holds, therefore he gave her mezainis, the extra work belongs to him. Therefore he can make it hekdesh right away. Rav and Shmuel say no. The extra work is for the ma'al kesef. If he didn't give her the ma'al kesef, he doesn't get her extra work. Why does each one hold what they hold? Okay? Sigmar says, "B'maika mifligi." What's the argument of something like this? Mar savar, Rav and Shmuel hold. Midi de shchiach, midi de shchiach. You take common for what's common. Meaning like this: what's more normal? It's more normal the husband supports the wife. That's more normal than giving your extra spending money. Yeah, what she works is normal. What's extra is not normal. Right? So now when the Chachamim are saying this is for this, A is for A and B is for B, Chachamim said, what is A? What the husband supports the wife, that's normal. Common. What she works the 5 saw a week is common. So Rav and Shmuel say, listen, work is normal, mezainis is normal, mezainis is for the work. The ma'a kesef is not so normal. So the extra work, which is not so normal, is for that. That makes sense. Very simple sense, right? What is Avada Bar Ava hold? And he says, no. Me did the kayets, me did the kayets. Something which is fixed for something which is fixed. Okay? Now, the ma'a kesef is fixed amount. How much mezainis? It could be $10. $12, $15, depends how much he eats, right? So it's not an exact amount. It's not a fixed amount. Okay? But the ma'a kesef is fixed, right? Now, the work that she produces 5 sela a week is also fixed. 5 sela a week. The extra work, it could be $10, $15, $8, there's no set amount, right? So therefore, he says like this, ma'a kesef is set, and what else is set? Her actual 5 seller work, that's set. So you learn set for set. The ma'isart is unset. We don't know how much extra she's going to be working, because there's no set amount for that, right? And mezainis is not set. Got it? So therefore, mezainis, which is not set, is for the extra work, which is not set. The ma'a kesef, which is set, a fixed amount, is for the 5 so work that she works, which is also set. So this is the argument between Rav Shmuel and Rav Avada Bar Ava. What did the Chachamim give for what? We know, it's a given. A husband has to give his wife mezainis, and he has to give her a ma'a kesef. She needs to give him work a 5 seller, plus extra work. Correct? He gives her 2 things. She gives him 2 things. He gives her food and the extra ma'a spending money. She has to produce 2 things in return. Work, 5 seller a week, plus extra work. Okay? Now, the Gemara says there's 2 ways of looking at this. Do we compare common to common or fixed to fixed? Of the 2, which are common, mezainis is more common than giving your extra spending money. Right? Mizainis is more common. The five seller that she works, not extra, what she works, that's also common. Right? So Rav and Shmuel say, what did the Chum say? Mizainis, which is common, is for the five seller that she works normal. The Ma'akasa, which is uncommon, for that, he gets her extra work, which is uncommon. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is no. A Ma'akasa is fixed. Her five basic work is fixed. So the Ma'akasa is instead of the basic work. The Mezainis, which is not fixed amount, you don't know how much she's going to eat. A little, a lot, depends on how much she eats. That's for something which is also not fixed. Meaning the extra work is not, we don't know what it is. And that's the basis of the argument, the Gemara says. We know that he has to give her two things, and she has to give him two things. Question is A for A or is A for B? So there's two ways of looking at it. One is set amount for set amount, or one is more common or less common. That's all. Okay, May say, so now I'll ask you a question. It says in the Braise clearly, Tiknu Mezainis, why did Chum give her food instead of her work? That's Mamash Rav and Shmuel's opinion. That Mezainis is for the work. Right? So how could Rav Ada Bar Ava argue on a Braise? So Mar says, no, the Braise is wrong. Don't say Tachas Maisi Adal, say Tachas Maisi Maisi Adal. It's missing a word in the Braise. Not for her mandatory work, but for the extra work. Because the Braises were not exact. So the Gemara says, no, there was a mistake in the Braise. Then the Gemara asks in reverse, the same question, similar answer. Toshma, another Braise says, if he doesn't give her the ma'akasab, the extra money, her own work is hers. That's a question of Rav and Shmuel. Because Rav and Shmuel says, Mizainis is for her work, not the extra ma'akasab. And this Braise says the ma'akasab is for her work. So the Gemara says, it's a mistake. The extra ma'isiyadah is hers for the ma'akasab. Okay? By the way, they're only arguing in what's for what. And the only difference would be, the Gemara explains, if the husband gave her Mezainis, but didn't give her the Ma'akasav, is she gonna get, and then he's Makdish her extra work. So if the Ma'akasav is because of the extra work, so because he didn't give her the Ma'akasav, her extra work doesn't become Magdish, it's not his, because he didn't give her the money. But if you hold the Mezainis is for the extra work, like Rav Ada Bar Ava, then even though he didn't give her that, but he gave her Mezainis, so then it is Magdish. That's what the Gemara is saying. So now the Gemara says, but the Gemara asks, V'alok Tani, it says in the Braise though, Mahi Aysalai, it says, she has to work for him, right? For the Ma'akasav. And it says, what does she have to work for him? Mishkal Chamesh Shloim Shsi B'Yehuda. The wife's mandatory is warp thread, you know, like a weaving process, of five sela per week. So that's clearly, how can you say it means extra? You're interpreting the Braisa, that when the Braisa says a work, right? It means extra work, but the Braise says it's only the five seller that she worked. It's not extra work. So the Gemara has Hachi Kamar. This is what the Gemara means. Maisi Adel Kamahava, how much is her work? That we should know how much is considered extra. So it says, Mishko Chamesh Slam Shsi B'Yehuda, which is Eser Slam B'Galut. In other words, the way the Gemara interprets the Braise is very simple. Really, the Braise says, her extra work goes to the husband for the ma'akasav. Yeah? What is considered extra? How do we know what extra is? So the Gemara says, anything above the five sela in Yehuda of weaving, which is 10 sela in Galil, because they had double currencies, so then that's called extra. Okay, the Gemara is done with this Gemara now, Lepoil.
Could you imagine if I said that happened today?
Why wouldn't it happen today?
Well, because a wife wants to make more money.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's telling her, you know how it is today.
We learned before in the Gemara, the wife can tell the husband, don't support me and I won't give you my money. She could do that. It's for her benefit. She could do whatever she wants with it.
By the way it is today, you know how it is today. This thing happened today. Most women wouldn't go along with it.
Well, maybe they'll have a woman's meeting.
Feminist meeting.
Yeah. Okay, Amish Shmuel. Shmuel said like this. Halacha Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler in the Mishnah, that the extra is not Hegdish. This whole Gemara we learned now was all according to Rabbi Meir's opinion. If the husband came along and said, the extra money she earns above 5 is Hegdish, so Rabbi Meir says it's Hegdish, and the Gemara was discussing the various opinions according to Rabbi Meir. Comes along Shmuel and says, halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. It's not Hegdish anyway. The whole Gemara before is null and void. Because Allah is not like Rabbi Meir that it's Hegdish. It's like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler who says it's not Hegdish. Okay? Why? Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says it's not in the world yet. It's not here yet. She didn't even work it yet. How can you make Hegdish something that doesn't exist in the world? Right? That's what Rabbi Yochanan Sandler basically held in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir held, even though it's not in the world yet, Rabbi Meir says you could sell something not in the world, you can make Hegdish, something that's not in the world, so it's not a problem. But Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says you can't sanctify, consecrate something that doesn't exist. Remember last time, 2 times ago, we learned, a guy says the baby you will have, or when you convert, or I convert, according to Rabbi Meir, it's good, but not according to anybody else. So Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, if a husband sanctifies, or consecrates, work that she didn't even do yet, he says, the extra work above the 5 seller that you're going to make for me, that's becoming Hegdish. So the mayor says it's Hegdish. The question when, he dies, doesn't die before you. But the question is, Rabbi Chassandler says it can't be Hegdish. Why? Because it doesn't exist yet. Right? So comes along Shmuel, and Shmuel says, the Allah is a Rabbi Chassandler. So the Gemara says, Umi, I'm a Shmuel Hochi. Did Shmuel say you can't consecrate something that's not in the world? Okay, but Tanan, it says in the Mishnah like this. Let me explain this din of Kainim. Okay? Kainim means it's basically a woman making a vow. And the word Kainim means I'm making this like it's a sacrifice. Just like a sacrifice is not yours, you can't have anything to do with it, it's God's. The same thing, I'm making this, that's kainim, the expression. Kainim is a corrupt expression of a korban, meaning, I'm making this food like, okay, so he says what happens. Kainim shani eisa leficha. What happens if a wife says to the husband, what I work is forbidden for you. She makes a vow. What I work, my work, is kainim leficha, meaning you cannot benefit from it.
Before or after marriage?
After. <I'm> married. Why would she say before she's not married? So now the question is like this. We learned in Chumash that if a woman makes a vow, the husband, when he hears it, can nullify the vow. But if it's not a vow to begin with, he doesn't have to nullify it. If it's a vow, the husband could nullify it or should nullify it. If it's not a vow, then what does he have to nullify it for? So now the question is like this. A woman comes and says to the husband, whatever I work, all the money I'm making, is forbidden to you like a korban. Is that a valid vow or not that the husband has to invalidate?
If it's detrimental to the marriage, then it's not.
No, 1 second, let's see.
We're not talking about the extra, we're talking about the regular
work. No, the regular work.
Simply another.
She says that my earnings are forbidden for everybody. No, to him. She says to my husband, whatever I work, she makes a vow, a neder. She makes a vow that whatever I earn, you cannot benefit from.
Can't say that.
Huh?
She can say that.
1 second. If she can't, then the husband doesn't have to nullify it.
Yeah.
But if she could, then the husband has to nullify, right? So let's see what the Braisa says. It says in the Mishnah, in the Dorin like this, Kainim shani eisa leficha. Kainim means I'm making a vow to forbid whatever I earn, that you can't eat it. You can't benefit from it. Eina tzorach lehofer. He doesn't have to nullify the vow. Why? It's completely ineffective. Okay? Why?
It's anyway, yeah.
Huh?
This is his anyway.
It's his.
Yeah.
It's like me coming along and say, what's yours is forbidden for you. Can't do that. Right? So therefore, the first opinion says, she doesn't have to nullify the vow. It's not her money. What she works, what she earns, is not hers. It goes straight to the husband. It's not that it's hers, and then she gives a gift to the husband.
Maybe she means the extra.
No, one second. Rabbi Kiva Emet, Rabbi Kiva says, Yafet, he should have known the vow. Why? Shemetadif olav yesem in aroilei. Maybe she'll make more than the husband deserves. Get the point? Let's say the work that the wife works, 5 sela, belongs to the husband. Yeah? So Rabbi Kiva would agree. If you're talking about the 5 sela she earns, the husband doesn't have to nullify the vow. Because she can't make a vow. It's not hers, it's the husband's. Right? But what happens if she makes 6? The extra dollar is not the husband's. Right? Because it's not her obligation. Meanwhile, it's not her obligation to give to the husband. So then the husband should nullify the vow for that extra dollar. Which is above and beyond what she has to give him.
She didn't say extra, but she said, what did I make?
Huh? Yeah.
I gave you
unit. Right. But that's only... But if $5 is his, and the $6 is hers, yeah?
So why does he have to nullify?
Because then the $6 he wouldn't be able to benefit from.
Well, if the swearing what she swore is ineffective, why does he have to bother?
It's only ineffective for the $5 that she has to pay him.
Oh, I see.
But if she made 6, that extra dollar is not his. Right? It's not his.
If someone makes a wrong Shavua, if the statement is wrong, then it's effective? She said everything I make, she can't say such a thing. The extra I said, the way she said that is wrong. So it's the wrong Shavua. So you don't have, I understand part of it is that, it's his.
1 minute. I have $10 of yours. I mean, I don't want to say I'm your wife, but... The wife has $10 that belongs to $10 of the husband. 5 of it is the husband's money. 5 is hers. And she says all $10 is forbidden for you. What's the din?
Can't do it.
Something is wrong. It's an ineffective.
1 second. Is it completely ineffective or 5 and 5? Is 5 ineffective, 5 is effective.
She said 5, yeah, but she said the whole thing. So. Wrong.
No, but maybe you divide it. What's his, she can't make a vow on, and what's hers, she could make a vow on. Okay, but let's just started this. Okay.
So if he annuls it, he gets the $6?
Huh?
If he annuls it, he gets the $6?
He does the 6, yeah.
He would get it.
Right. Okay, now, so the first opinion says you don't have to nullify it because it's all the husband's money. She can't make the vow. Rabbi Kiva says, 1 minute, there might be extra money that's hers. Okay. He should nullify the vow, but for a different reason. Why? Listen to this. Shami Yigashena, maybe he'll divorce her, right? Now, she has no obligation to him. Okay? But Tehei Achsura Lachzer, and he will never be able to remarry her.
Why?
The woman says, what I earn is forbidden for you. Okay? Now, the question is, it's his money. But what are we afraid of? Maybe he'll divorce her.
What if he says that's what?
Then it's not his money anymore, correct? Because okay. They're not married anymore. So her work doesn't go to
he'll
him.
He'll divorce her over this
matter? Doesn't matter why. He'll divorce her. Okay. Now he'll never be able to remarry her.
Why?
Because she made a vow that whatever I do is forbidden for you. That means forever.
Whatever I do, I thought it was whatever I make.
Yeah, okay. Make, do, what's the difference?
Well, maybe she'll make do with money.
So she can't get married again?
It does, not to this guy. Oh. Because when he remarries her, inevitably he's gonna benefit something from her. And she already made a vow, you cannot benefit from me whatsoever.
In the terms of a normal marriage is for her to work and give him.
Correct. Not only that, she'll cook for him, she'll do things for him. So therefore the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri says, you know what you really should do? Nullify the vow, just to play it safe. Not for now. For now you don't need to nullify the vow, because it's his money. Right? It's the husband's money. She can't forbid the husband's money on the husband. But we're afraid maybe he'll divorce her and he won't be able to remarry her.
Only the first opinion, not Rabbi Akiva, no?
It's Rabbi.
So afterwards maybe somebody could nullify her vow.
One second. Rabbi Akiva, Yechim and Nuri both say you need to nullify the vow. The first opinion says you don't need to nullify the vow. She can't make such a vow. Rabbi Akiva says nullify. Rabbi Yechman Nuri says nullify, but for two different reasons. Rabbi Akiva says you have to nullify the vow because it might be extra. Rabbi Yechman Nuri says you need to nullify the vow because then if not, you won't be able to divorce and remarry her. And it's a mitzvah to remarry a divorce unless if you're a kohen.
I'm a little bit confused though about the part where if it's his money, how is she allowed to?
She's not.
What? She's not allowed to.
Not if it's his money.
She can't forbid his money on himself.
So in other words, she's working because he's providing for her, so whatever she works goes to him, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and if she says...
So it's not her money.
It's not her money. But if she decides... But you just said earlier that if she decides he doesn't want her to support her...
But that's not the case over here. She's not saying, I don't want you to support me and I...
I see. So she, in other words, she's saying, that deal I want you to support me and I'm not giving you a penny.
Right.
Gotcha.
Why can't anybody nullify her vow later, after the divorce?
Because we're speaking about the husband nullifying, can only nullify the day he hears it.
But Beis Din can nullify, no?
Beis Din can nullify it later, but the question is, the Gemara's question basically over here, is it a vow or is it not a vow? That's the question. Is it a vow or not a vow? So Rabbi Akiva says it might be a vow, because it might be extra money. Rabbi Yechman Nuri says it might be a vow in case he divorces her. So both Rabbi Akiva says the husband should nullify it, because maybe there'll be extra money. Rabbi Yechman Nuri says you have to nullify it, because maybe he'll divorce her. Okay? So now it says like this. V'am Shmuel, alochak Rabbi Yechman Nuri. Rabbi Yechman, and Shmuel comes along and says the halacha is like Rabbi Yechman ben Nuri. Yeah? Now listen to this. What did Rabbi Yechman ben Nuri say? Why do you have to null the vow? In case he divorces her. No, that was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yechman ben Nuri says because maybe he'll divorce her. And then he'll remarry her. That already doesn't exist yet. That doesn't exist in the world yet. What will be after he divorces her and remarries her? The money she makes then? That's not in the world yet. Right? Yet, Shmuel says, that halacha of Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, you need to nullify the vow. Right? You need to undo the vow. Because maybe he'll divorce her. But if he divorces her and he remarries her, that's not in the world yet. Shmuel just got through saying, the halacha is Rabbi Yechon HaSandler, that you cannot make Hegdish something that doesn't exist in the world yet.
So therefore,
We're not worried about something that doesn't exist. And the same Shmuel says that halachas like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri that hold you should nullify the vow. Why? Because maybe he'll divorce and remarry her, but that's also not in the world yet.
What is not in the world?
Not the divorce, not the remarriage.
If that's the case, they never can have a cheshash.
Huh?
If we can never have a cheshash according to him.
If she's
only a cheshash.
Correct.
If she's saying, I don't want you to benefit from anything I do, they're already heading towards divorce.
Well, that could be.
Yes, that's practically probably true.
Heading in that direction.
We suspect.
Yeah, but the divorce is up to the husband, you know.
That's in other words, the Gemara's question is Shmuel's contradicting himself. Shmuel in our Mishnah says that Loch is a Kibich min a Sandler, that something that doesn't exist in the world yet, he can't deal with.
Same concept of previous.
Right? Yet, the same Shmuel says, the Allah is a Yabichim ben Nuri, that says you should nullify the vow, because of the produce she will make when she remarries him after divorce. That's not in the world yet. Not the divorce, and not the remarriage. So Shmuel is contradicting himself. So the Gemara answers interestingly. Shmuel says the Allah is a Yabichim ben Nuri, but not for the reason. Basically, the Gemara's going to answer Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara's answering, and the Gemara's going to discuss why he says Allah is a Gebrech Minor. The Gemara says, Shmuel, really? Remember, Rabbi Akiva said nullify. Rabbi Minori said nullify. Rabbi Akiva said nullify because of the extra money. Rabbi Minori says maybe divorce and remarriage. So the Gemara says, Shmuel says that Allah is a Gebrech Minori only in the respect that you have to nullify the vow. But why? Because of Rabbi Kiva's reason of extra money. That's what Kiyama Shmalach Rabbi Yechmen Nuri La'adofa for the extra money. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, why doesn't he say Aloch Rabbi Yechmen Nuri La'adofa? Or he should say the Aloch is not like the Tanakama. Or he should say Aloch is like Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara says this is a ridiculous answer. You can't say that Shmuel says the Aloch is like Rabbi Yechmen Nuri, but not for the reason like Rabbi Yechmen Nuri. Then let him say the Aloch is like Rabbi Akiva. The way Shmuel is explaining it, he holds like Rabbi Akiva. Right? So why is he saying the Aloch is like Rabbi Yechmen Nuri? Let him say the Aloch is like Rabbi Akiva. So obviously this doesn't make sense. So my answer, what's the answer? The answer is like this. Elam Rabbi Yosef says like this. Kainomis, this concept of a vow in a way of kainom, is different. Meaning like this. Miteich sha'adam eisepedus chaveri olov, he can forbid the fruits of his friend by telling them he can't eat it. Meaning like this. Can I normally forbid your food? No. You can't. I can't make a neder that your food is forbidden. You can't make such a vow. It's worthless. But I could by kainim. What does kainim mean? I say your food is forbidden for me.
For me, yeah. Any food that's coming later on.
Even now. The food that's now is forbidden. So what am I doing? I'm forbidding your food.
For yourself.
Well, she said forbidden for you.
Before for the husband, now she says for herself. He says kainim is a different concept. Because kainim could do things that normal vows can't do. Normal vows cannot forbid somebody else's thing. I can't make a vow that your soda is forbidden. It's not mine to make a vow. But I could make a vow, kainim, that your soda is forbidden for me to drink. So he said, 1 minute. So therefore he says, just like that is different than all vows. So kainim, you could even do something that's not in the world yet also. That means like this. Shmuel really holds, like Rabbi Yechon Sandler, You cannot make Hegedish something that doesn't exist yet. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler said in the Mishnah that when the husband makes the future earnings of the wife Hegedish, he can't, because it doesn't exist yet. But when the woman says Kainain, be just like she can forbid somebody else's food on herself, she can forbid something that's also not existing in the world yet.
There's no connection.
There's
no connection. What kind of doesn't go together? She can make it.
Because it just, you see that Kainim takes more effect easily than a regular neder. Can a regular neder forbid your stuff? No. Kainim could. That means it's more readily.
But it still doesn't have concept of potential that something doesn't exist. Or
why not? He says, that's what Rabbi Yosef is answering. Kainim is different.
There's no connection. Because if this is asked for that, there's no connection. How can it?
Well, it's just proving that something that doesn't exist in the world could be forbidden. It just proved it with this.
That's what Rabbi Yosef is saying, and that's why Shmuel's not contradicting himself. Really, Shmuel holds you can't make something Hegdish. Abaye's going to refute him in a second. But Rabbi Yosef holds that really Shmuel holds you cannot make Hegdish something that doesn't exist in the world. Just like I can't make Hegdish your stuff. Can I make Hegdish your stuff? Can I say your house is Hegdish? No. Right? So therefore, just like you cannot make your house, I cannot make something that doesn't exist in the world yet. But if kainim means I can forbid something of yours on myself, right?
That does exist.
But therefore, this is what Rav Yosef says. Abaye is going to question it, but Rav Yosef holds, therefore you see kainim takes more readily effect, it becomes more readily effective than a regular Hegdish. So Shmuel holds by Kainim, you could do it even though it's not in the world yet. So if the wife says to the husband, the work I will work is forbidden for you. Yeah? If she can make it for, it's not in the world yet. But Kainim is a very powerful thing. She could do it. Amalei Abaye says, I said 1 minute. Said Bishleima Adam Eisa Pereisa Chaveri Olav Mela, a person can prohibit the fruits of his fellow upon himself. Shekin Adam Eisa Pereisa Chaveri, because he can prohibit his fruits on somebody else. Also, I can forbid my fruits for you. So therefore, but yes, it davishli b'loilam chaveri. Can somebody forbid? Well, like you said, what does it have to do with something that's not in the world yet? I can make your fruits forbidden for me. I can make my fruits forbidden for you. But what does it have to do with something? He said, "Shekein endo adam peyus chaveid al chaveid." Can I forbid your fruits for him? I can't forbid your fruits for him. I can't say you're not allowed to eat his fruit. And that's like davar shloi b'la'ilam yet. How can I forbid something that doesn't exist in the world yet? Okay, so he says like this. You know what the story is over here? Again, we're trying to figure out to answer Shmuel's contradiction. In our Gemara, Shmuel said, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, the Halacha Zakim, that you cannot sanctify something that doesn't exist in the world. And Shmuel says, the Halacha Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, that you have to nullify the vow. Right? So he says like this. It's very simple. And this, we learned this concept before. By Medes, he kach yodelei seim. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's case, where Shmuel said the halachas like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri that you should nullify the vow, is not speaking what she said to the husband, the food I'm going to make is forbidden for you, because that doesn't exist yet. Okay, what she says is, my hands are forbidden to produce for you.
So her hands exist.
Her hands exist. Good point. Her hands exist. So she's not forbidding the money that she didn't make yet. That she can't do. It's not in the world yet. But what she's saying is, the work of my hands will be forbidden for you.
So
the hands are in the world. No, no, by the case of the husband, she said you can't benefit from it.
But the same thing, I know, I understand that the hand exists, but you're saying the work of my hand that doesn't exist, make it exist. I still it's not exist.
Her hands exist.
No, but the work of my hand doesn't exist.
Well, remember we spoke before. Can I bind myself to you for money I don't have yet?
Yeah, that's a pledge people make.
Can I pledge money that I don't have yet?
Yeah.
Why? It's not here yet.
You're gonna make, yeah.
But it's not here yet. Somebody pledges $500 to tzedakah, but they don't have a cent. Yeah? Halachically, it's a pledge?
Yeah, but they shouldn't.
Why?
They shouldn't.
Why is it a pledge? Woman, does the person have to give it?
Assume it's gonna happen.
Does the person have to give it?
Yeah.
He has to give it. Now, if I sell it, say to you, the fruits of that tree, not contra me, contra Allah, the fruits of that tree that don't exist yet, I'm selling to you. Can I change my mind? Can I change my mind?
Yes.
They don't exist yet. Not like Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds you could. But not like Rav Meir. Can I change my mind? You never got them. They don't exist yet. I can't sell you something that doesn't exist.
So what's the practical difference?
By the way, I'm not even talking about tzedakah.
What's the difference? What's the practical difference between the tzedakah and the fruit? I mean, why do we pledge the
Because tzedakah? I'm not pledging the money. I'm pledging myself to give the money, and I exist.
Oh,
that's the same thing. The wife is not saying to the husband, the money I will make, you cannot benefit from. She says, my hands work, you cannot benefit from. And the hands exist. The hands are here. But now the question is, but Gemara says, how could she do that? How could she consecrate her hands that the husband can't eat it? Her hands belong to the husband. We're saying the work of the hands, she's forbidding for him.
She belongs to him.
But her, not she. The work of her hands belongs to him. So how could she forbid that?
There you go. Okay.
It's a very simple question. She's obligated to him. So the Gemara says, she said to him, when I divorce you. In other words, she says like this, the work of my hands will be forbidden for you when we get divorced. Then her hands exist, right? But her hands, after they're divorced, are not bound to him. So then, what she's saying, therefore, that after they get divorced, anything she works is forbidden for him. And that she could say, the Gemara says.
She could, but what's the point of saying that?
Huh? But her hands are.
No, but what's the point?
In other words, she's saying, one second. She's saying, the work of my hand is forbidden for you. That's what she's saying, basically. Right. The work of my hand is forbidden for you. Yeah. But the Gemara says, how could she do that? It's his work. Right. The husband, not the hands. Yeah. But the work of the hands belongs to the husband. Right. So the Gemara says, you're right. During the lifetime, it doesn't become forbidden for him. Because she can't do it, it's his. Mm-hmm. When does it become effective? When they get divorced. Is the work of her hands bound to him anymore?
No.
No.
Therefore, she doesn't owe him anything either.
Right, but therefore what she's saying is, any money I make is forbidden for you. And that keeps a vow.
She doesn't even have to say that, but okay, fine.
No, if she wants to give him a present, can she?
No.
Yes. Right. No, not if she said this vow.
Right.
But otherwise, if she didn't make the vow, she could still give him a present. Here she wouldn't be able to.
But doesn't Mashma, when she says, whatever I make is also for you, means, Turu Ma'ase Yodai? How can you know, without a hand, it's impossible to say that. It goes together. We added this part of Ma'ase Yodai to solve the problem.
One second. The hands are here?
Yeah, of course they are here.
Now there's two parts of my hand. One that belongs to me. Correct? My hands. Yeah? And the second one is, the obligation that what my hands produce go to you. Yes? Now, the hands are in the world. She's not saying the money I will make is yours or forbidden for you, because that doesn't exist yet. Okay? She says the work of my hands that exist are forbidden for you. That's the case kainim.
Very problematic. She can't wash dishes.
No, but that's what the Gemara is saying. While she's married, she can't say that, because washing dishes and that work is the husband's. Just as she can't say your stuff is forbidden. But what it means, the Gemara says, is if and when they get divorced,
it goes into effect.
Then her hands are not bound to him anymore. Correct? No. Therefore, anything she makes, he is forbidden to benefit from.
But that would happen anyway during the
right.
But I'm saying, but if she wanted to give him a present, she would be allowed to.
That's not what
like
she means.
Bomb or something.
That's what Mar says. She says that's what she means.
Or remarry.
Like she wanted to give him like a stick of dynamite.
Yeah.
When she left him. She can't do it.
She could leave it before the divorce.
That's true.
She could leave it before the radio can do it.
But the Gemara's question is, okay, let's see this question. Omika midi, is there such a thing, this is where Rashi explains the Gemara, is there such a thing that now she can't sanctify it? Yeah? But it becomes consecrated later? The Gemara says like this, what are you saying? She says, my hands, when I get divorced, will be forbidden for you. So Gemara said, we don't find such a thing, this is Gemara's question at least, we don't find such a thing that I can make it hegdish, but now it's not, and a later date it is. That's this case. She says, I'm forbidding my hands, not now, in 5 years when we get divorced. Gemara said, we don't find such a creature.
Well, you can't say I can make my house
hegdish
next year?
Huh? Oh, 1 minute. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abeloi, Ilo Emelech, why not? He says, Ilo Emelech Aveire, if a guy says to this guy, Saduzu Shani Meichelach, this field that I'm selling to you will become hegdish when I buy it back from you. Mila Kitcha does not become hegdish when he buys it back. It's a very simple case. A guy is selling a field. I sell a field to you, and I say to you, I'm selling you the field, but when I buy it back, it will become hegdish. So what's this case? Now it's not hegdish because it's yours. When I buy it back at a later date, it will become hegdish. Why not? Same thing the woman says. My hands will become hegdish for you when we divorce. Forbidden for you.
Oh.
Forbidden for you to benefit from. I, the Gemara said, but now it's not. So it says, who cares? Now it's not. I'm selling you a field, now it can't be hegdish. Mm-hmm. But when I buy it back, I can make it hegdish from now.
But Maase Yada exists, but the divorce doesn't exist. You can't say that. According to
him. Yeah, she can't divorce herself.
And the buying back also doesn't exist yet. But all the time... All the guys involved are existing. The field is here. The buyer's here. The seller's here. The divorce is not there, but neither is the sale back.
Yeah, but the woman cannot divorce herself.
No, he says, if you divorce me. What we call it? L'chim egarsha. So therefore the Gemara is differentiating between selling something, consecrate, forbidden something that doesn't exist yet in the world, or this case where it does exist. Okay.